Jim read to verse 17, but if you got your Bibles, I want you to read just a little bit farther, just a few words into the 18th verse of the second chapter of Colossians. It says, when somebody successfully persuades you to go back to the rule of the law, you have been defrauded of your prize. Translate that into plainer English. Cheated! Cheated out of what God wants you to have. Cheated out of what Christ gave you. He nailed it to the cross.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
And once again, good morning. I generally listen through at least one cycle of the national news every day except Sunday. I don't try to listen to the news on Sunday. I'd rather spend that day meditating on God. But all the other days, I try to listen once through the cycle of the news. And some days, about halfway through the cycle, I decide I've had enough. There's hardly ever any good news. What's out there sometimes is not news at all. And so I'll switch to something else. One day this last week, as we were driving along, I was listening to the news and got a little weary with it. So I dialed on back to 70s on 7 to listen to some of the music of my youth, which was a long time ago. Like the 70s. First song that came up was the Linda Ronstadt tune, and I just thought to myself, you know, I never was really all that crazy about Linda Ronstadt. Not Linda Ronstadt fans in the room today. There were, say, yeah, we got one there. Two and a half, something like that. Linda Ronstadt. You know, she had a beautiful voice, Linda Ronstadt did. And I liked her in the Pirates of Penzance and that sort of thing. And just none of her songs ever reached out and grabbed me or seemed to me to be meaningful so that I had a connection with it. I mean, there was Blue Bayou, which was okay. And there was Different Drum, which just offended me all to pieces as far as that goes. And I could go through the catalog of Linda Ronstadt hits, but my reason for bringing it up is, as I heard her song, I thought, well, she did sing this one song that kind of touches on what I'm going to talk about on Sunday. So if there are Linda Ronstadt fans in the room, and maybe you will discover that you are and don't know it, you'll be able to help me out here. The first line is, I've been cheated. Second line. Big question. When will I be loved? Okay. I have a reason. That was not gratuitous. Just hang on to that for a little bit. How many of us have been cheated in our lives? It's happened, and sometimes people get cheated financially, and sometimes it's small penny ante stuff, or sometimes people get cheated in a big way by the scams and cons that go on in our society. Sometimes we may have been cheated, or consider that we or our home team were cheated out of a victory in an athletic contest, or we've been cheated in some way, deprived of what was ours or rightfully should have been ours, and we were cheated out of it. Now, I have told this story before, but not everyone who is here today will have heard it. Some of you will, but it's always the thing that comes back to my mind when I think about being cheated. Probably my earliest experience with the real deal. When I was about 15, we had a wet year, wet enough that a lot of the farmers had trouble getting into their fields to pick the corn. And there was one old German farmer that lived about a mile and a half from my home, and he hired me and two of my teenage friends to go into one field where it just was not drying up at all, and he wasn't going to be able to get a tractor in there, and he paid us to pick that corn by hand. And the offer was this: 10 cents for every burlap sack that we filled with corn. A dime was a little more in those days than it is now, but 10 cents to fill a burlap sack. And we tromped that muddy field, our shoes usually weighing about 30 pounds apiece with accumulated soil, filling and carrying burlap sacks to the edge of the field where he parked a wagon. And when the wagon was full, he would bring another wagon, drop it off, and haul that wagon back to the barn. And so it went all week. And we had kept careful count of the number of bags that we had filled, so we had an exact idea of how much money we were owed. And it was just a little distressing when he handed each of us $3 at the end of the week. And here's what he had done. He shelled the corn, and he paid us 10 cents for each bag shelled. That is, with the cobs and the air all gone. And he said, "How else would you figure it?" And I had some answers for that, but my upbringing prevented me from voicing exactly as I thought I would like to. So we quit. The next day, there were some other teenage boys in that field. And I expect at the end of the week, they quit too. But my dad came home, and he saw that I was there and not out picking corn as I had been the last several evenings. And he asked me, "Did you finish it up?" And I said, "Nope, quit." And he wanted to know why. So I explained the whole story to him, as I have told it to you, and that was why we quit. And he said, "Well, things like this happen. Just figure," he said, "figure," this was a favorite expression of his, "figure that you got the two magic C's, calluses and character." And I said, "You left one out. I got cheated. Cheated. Starts with a C. When you get cheated, it makes you mad." And at that time, it really made me mad. I had worked hard and felt like I had been totally cheated out of the money, defrauded of something that had been promised to me and rightfully should have been mine. Now, file that story away with Linda for a minute, and I'll come back to those things in a bit. Paul, in this passage that Jim read for us this morning, is talking about a big change. The change from the old covenant to the new covenant. The change promised, for instance, in Jeremiah chapter 31, where God says, "I will make a new covenant with my people, not like the old covenant which I made before, a new covenant." And here's the essence of the difference as per the prophecy of Jeremiah. The old covenant was carved in tablets of stone. But the new covenant be rooted in the human heart. That's the big difference. Not rules carved in stone, but a personal relationship with God in the human heart. That's the difference between the covenants. And what Paul wants us to know, as he spoke to those early Colossian Christians, is that the promise of Jeremiah 31 has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And when we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we passed from the old covenant carved in stone to the new covenant placed in our hearts. In a world of changes occur when that happens. And I could preach for a month and not really do a good job at categorizing all the changes, so we aren't going to talk about very many of them. I'm going to talk about this one. When it happens, our sins are forgiven. Amen? They're just taken away. What a glorious thought. Our sins are gone. Because they were nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. Paul has an interesting way of describing that. He says, it is as though there was this certificate of debt, and it was hostile to you. It was composed of decrees. And they were hostile to you, but that certificate has been canceled. That is, marked paid in full. Why was the decree of the law hostile to us? Well, when God gave the law, He made it very clear. He said to them on that very first day, He said, today, I am laying it all out before you. The blessing and the curse. Keep these laws, and I will pour out the blessing on you. Forsake these laws, and it's the curse right down the line. Now, here's a simple question, and you can answer it for me. Which thing did we do? Did we keep the law? Or did we forsake the law? We forsook the law, and it didn't take us long. And we made a really thorough job of it. And we've been extremely consistent about it. And every lie we told was added to the certificate of debt. And every time that we coveted that which belonged to another, it was piled on to the certificate of death. And every time that in our hearts or with our mouths we did not give God proper honor, the number on the certificate got bigger. A debt we could not pay, the terms of which are the pouring out of the curse. Yes, you might say it was hostile toward us, but we had earned that hostility. And that certificate was canceled. In the 15th chapter, and I'll apologize a little bit to people who were with me on Wednesday morning. You've already heard a lot of this because it happened to be with part of the theme of my Bible study because we were in Acts 15. But in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, the question was raised, do all these new Christians who were not born Jews have to become Jews in order to be Christians at all? And the question was brought to the apostles. And both Peter and James spoke up, and Peter said, well, no, can't you see? God has already poured out His Spirit on these people just like He did on us, and if He's treating them as though they were already accepted to Him, what right have we got to insist on some further barrier to acceptance? And James said, furthermore, what good is it to put on these people's necks a burden which neither we nor our fathers could bear because we didn't keep the law? It was given to us, and we blew it off. So why insist that they be able to do something that we could not? These two paths of thought, Peter and James introduced to the question. The law, now we're ready to come back to Colossians. The law, Paul says, in all of its details and aspects, was a shadow of the reality of Christ to come. Every aspect of the law was a shadow cast by the reality of Christ. The festivals, and Paul says in this passage, don't let anyone judge you according to the festivals. And I can't take the time to do a thorough job of this, but I've done the one many times. The details of the Passover are clearly prophetic of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The shedding of the blood of the Lamb to cause the wrath of God to pass over and forgive us our sins. Clearly, the shadow cast by the reality of Jesus Christ, but the tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, all the festivals, if we were to take the time to dig into them, are shadows cast by the reality to come of Jesus Christ. Sabbaths, because Paul says in this passage, let no one judge you according to keeping the Sabbath days. And the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is our Sabbath rest. He is the reality of which those former things were only shadows. The commandments, the Big Ten, and others that went along with them, are but dim shadows of the true righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the whole deal with circumcision was only a shadow of a higher circumcision, one not wrought by hand, that is accomplished when we are baptized, Paul says, into Jesus Christ. Every aspect, and we could name more, but every aspect of the law is a shadow cast by the reality of Jesus Christ. And now that Christ has come, now that the substance is here, what need of the shadow, Paul says. Why would you choose to cling to the shadow when you can now have the real thing which cast the shadow in the first place? And when you have the real thing, you move from the condemnation that was yours in the shadow to the forgiveness of sins, which I have mentioned, which is yours in Jesus Christ. That seems like a good trade, huh? You can do better. That seems like a good trade, right? Okay, well, I was pretty sure. I didn't think anybody was disagreeing with me, but... And that's not the end of it. Let me tell you a second thing that happens when we move from the old covenant to the new, from the shadow to the substance. Not only are our sins forgiven, but Christ begins within us a process of transformation that makes us day by day, week by week, year by year, less the person that we have been and more like Him. And this is the promise. I shall be like Him. This is a treasure. And as the love of God, as it is embodied in Jesus Christ, grows in my heart, I find no need for rules. How many of you believe that this is a treasure you would like to keep? the forgiveness of your sins and the transformation of your heart to Christ likeness. That's keeper. Hang on to that, right? Or you could trade it for a return to the law. No sooner had Paul and company preached the gospel than along came these men who said, it's all good except that you need to do the dietary thing from the Old Testament and the Sabbath thing from the Old Testament and the ritual hand washing from the Old Testament. Yeah, Christ, you got Christ, that's good, but you need to keep the law because that's where it's at. I'm going to tell you something. You can't have Christ and the law. You cannot have the new covenant and the old. You must trade one for the other. And when you trade the old for the new, you have been blessed. But when someone persuades you to trade the new for the old, you have been cheated. I had Jim read to verse 17, but if you got your Bibles, I want you to read just a little bit farther, just a few words into the 18th verse of the second chapter of Colossians. It says, when somebody successfully persuades you to go back to the rule of the law, you have been defrauded of your prize. Translate that into plainer English. Cheated! Cheated! Out of what God wants you to have. Cheated out of what Christ gave you. He nailed it to the cross. Someone has persuaded you to pull that nail and take that certificate back down and clutch it. And you have been cheated. People get uncomfortable when we start talking about giving up the law to have Jesus Christ. But I assure you, it is a necessity. You can't have both. But people get uncomfortable because as soon as you say, it's not about the law, it's not about rules, people think, well then what? Anything goes? And that's not really the idea. You are here this morning at the worship service in the house of God. There is more than one reason that people assemble at places like this, at times like this. Some people come to church because they think it's a rule they need to follow. I could be fishing. I'd rather be fishing, but the rule says I need to be in church. I could be golfing. I wouldn't rather be golfing. I don't play golf. Rather, I've played golf twice and I stink. But the rule says I should be in church. I can think of 100 things I'd rather be doing, but I need to follow the rule. And if that's the case, I mean, this is not to be rude, I'm just saying, if that's the case, you had just as well go fishing, or golfing, or whatever. We should be here not because it's a rule, but because we love God. And we love each other. And we love the fellowship of the saints. And we love the purposes which God has placed before us. You may be charitable. You may give ever so much charitably because you think it's the rule. Because it's what you think you must do. To get in good with God. Follow the rule. And I say the same thing every time I think about this. God does not need my money. He has everything he needs. He doesn't need my money. What he wants is for me to avoid the danger of being trapped by my money and loving it more than I love him. And when I am charitable, it should not be because it's a rule I feel I have to keep, but because I love God, and I love all his children, and I am moved by a growing love like that of Jesus Christ, so that I will give sacrificially. You may strive toward righteousness because it's the rule you think you need to keep. And I'll guarantee you one thing. You will fail. You will not keep the rule of perfect righteousness. Or you may increasingly live a new life because the love of Christ has filled your heart, and walking the path of righteousness becomes more natural every day that love grows in you. It's not open season for sin. It's finally being able to live the life that will bring you joy and communion with God. But only if you leave the old covenant behind and enter into the new covenant. And to trade grace and transformation for rules carved in stone that you have already proven you can't keep is to be defrauded of your prize. And so to Miss Ronstadt and the musical question, I provide an answer. I've been cheated. When will I be loved? And the answer is, right now. Right this very minute, if you will choose the one who loves you so much that he gave his life to cancel the certificate of debt that was hostile toward you and nailed the decrees which pointed out your condemnation to the cross. When will you be loved? As soon as you choose Jesus Christ.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.